Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, sometimes when pastors come up for the sermon, they will tell a story. A lot of times the story might be something that they had heard someone else tell, or it could be something that they read somebody else's story and they fit it to make their own, or maybe they just making up a story to fit into the sermon, or maybe they're telling something true about their life. But always there's some maybe elements of all that in a sermon. So today I want to tell you a story, and you can determine, is it made up? Is it from somebody else? Where this story came from. There was this woman many years ago. This is before Roe versus Wade. We'll set the time before Roe versus Wade. So I guess it's before 1972 or whatever. And she was happy. She had four kids. She wanted four kids. That was great. She got pregnant for a fifth kid. She said, oh, and I can't say the rest of it because I'm in church. And then, so now she had five kids. She got pregnant again. She was not at all happy. No, she didn't want five. She was not happy when she had the fifth kid, even though she loved the kid and was now happy. There's no way she wanted six kids. Who would want to take care of six kids? Go through six pregnancies. She was not at all happy. And then the doctor told her that in her initial evaluations and everything, this is what I've heard, is that there was a good chance that that sixth child might be, and this is the term they used then, mentally retarded. Mentally retarded. Now we say developmentally disabled. There's a good chance this child might have Down syndrome or another disability. Now, even though this was before Roe versus Wade, she had choices. Did she really want to go through a pregnancy that she did not want and then give birth to a child who is mentally retarded? A lot to think about, this woman had. And I said this was verse before Roe versus Wade. And now, afterwards, maybe the decision would have been a lot easier for her. I don't know. But I do know is that once the doctor told her this, what I've been told is that she then decided she better take care of herself and this baby that was to come. You see, a few years before this sixth pregnancy, she started going to church. And so she was involved in Bible studies and all this and that. She would open up her Bible and read, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. David was writing to God. God formed his inward parts. God formed the inward parts of this baby that was in this woman's womb. God formed the inner parts of each and every one of you. You're all knitted together in your mother's womb. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And this woman took comfort in this, even to the point where it didn't matter to her. Yes, she was praying that her baby would be healthy and would be, quote, unquote, normal. But even if the baby was disabled, she knew that she would take care of and love that baby all of the days that was given to them. She also knew Jeremiah, who writes in the first chapter, "Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Before Jeremiah was formed in the womb, God knew him. Before we were formed in the womb, God knew us. Before this lady's baby was formed in her womb, God knew this baby. So the woman decided to have this baby. But what if she did not? What if it was after Roe versus Wade, where abortion would have been a lot easier and safer? What if it's someone you know now that has an abortion? How do you handle it? How do you treat that person? Do you yell and scream at them? Call them a murderer? Or do you treat them with love and kindness, showing them God's love, praying that they repent and ask God for forgiveness, and God will forgive them? No matter what anyone has done wrong, oh, we're so thankful for that. No matter what we have done wrong, God loves us, and he wants us to repent. He wants to forgive us. So you could go down to an abortion clinic and protest outside and hand out pamphlets. But I pray you don't scream and yell and cuss the people out and call them a bunch of murderers and everything, because all that does is hurt. We want to reach them with kindness. We want to love them. We want to take care of them. So this lady gave birth to a baby who was born, quote unquote, normal. And to thank God for this, she started volunteering with the mentally retarded. And she would go down when the schools, the special schools, would go bowling. And she will, and this is before electronic scorekeepers, and she would keep score for those children, for those young people. And then also for the adults who lived in group homes or with their parents, who worked in workshops during the day when they would go bowling. And so that's one way that she thanked God for this baby. This baby grew up, from what I've heard, he grew up. And he, when he was still a kid, he started volunteering, helping them keep score. He'd also bowl with them because he liked bowling. And then he ended up working for many years with the developmentally disabled as a way of giving thanks to what his mother had brought him up to do. One day he was at the bowling alley. He spent a lot of time at the bowling alley. And this man asked him what he was going to do with his life. And this kid was in high school at the time. And the kid told the man, "I'm going to become a pastor." And the man says, "No, you're going to work with the handicapped." And then this kid grew up and he said, "Well, why can't I do both?" So this kid worked with the handicapped for many years. And now this kid is a pastor. I know this story is true. The lady, the woman, is my mother, and the baby is me. I am fearfully and wonderfully made, just as I am. And you are also fearfully and wonderfully made, just as you are. And even if I ended up being handicapped, developmentally disabled, when it mattered, I still would have been fearfully and wonderfully made. I would still be a child of God. And so are you. So my prayer is that do not castigate, do not hate on those who maybe had a procedure we would not agree with, but love them and show them Christ and show them that Christ loves them. And there are organizations like the Pregnancy Center in Cuba, Lutheran Family and Children's Services. If you want to help, call them and see what you can do. Be part of the life, Lutheransforlife.org. You can look on that. And there's different ways to help without being obnoxious about it. Jesus says, "I will not leave you as orphans." Yet there are orphans in the world that need help. Ask God if he has placed you to reach out to help them. Not everyone can do all everything, but some of us have been given the gift of helping. Others have been given other gifts. But just thank God each and every day for the life he has given you and your children. God bless each and every one of you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And that is why Jesus Christ took your sins upon himself and went to the cross. Because you were made in God's image. And he loves you each and every day. In the name of Jesus. Amen.